The Earth turns at 23 degrees on its axis. It's flying at 66,000 miles an hour. But God put that in order, but it's so dependable, you don't have to worry about it shifting all the time. What if the Earth decided to just one day, stop? It's like traveling on a car 66,000 miles an hour without a seatbelt. Where would you end up? Everything in Hawaii would shift. Whoosh, you'd be in China. I mean, it's like an evening. Good night, dear. The next morning,
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Fortunately, the Earth keeps on turning as it always has. God has placed an order in the universe. Without it, there'd be chaos. Well, God has also placed an order for our lives, and when we step outside of it, our lives become very chaotic, as we'll see today from the life of Lot, Abraham's nephew. Here's Pastor Wayne from a series entitled Confidence in a Shaky World. This message is called Lot, A Life Without Order.
I'm confused about Lot. I didn't say I'm confused a lot. I said I'm confused about Lot. I said that in one of the earlier services, and someone down here said, oh, help him, Lord. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot settled in the area of the lush Jordan Valley called Sodom and Gomorrah, names that we've heard before. Abraham settled more towards Canaan, a little more inland. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah became so wicked with loose sexual immorality that it became just normal lifestyle. It was so wicked that God said, I'm going to destroy and devastate the place. Well, Abraham caught wind of this and he said, God, what if there's just 50, 40, 30, 20 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah? Would you spare those cities? God said, if you can find that, great, I'll spare it. Abraham went through the white pages, couldn't find that many that were righteous. Got down to 10. Lord, if I could find 10, would you spare it? Knowing that his nephew Lot lived there, so at least his family would account for some of that. God says, 10, I'll spare it. He couldn't even find 10. So then the plan is set in motion. But as I look at Lot's life, I realize that probably he didn't help much. His life was so out of order. It was so gabongers. So God, what he does is he sends a couple of angels in the form of just men to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, they get there towards evening, and they're going to spend the night in the square, the city square. But Lot finds them and says, you guys better not spend the night here. You just better not. Well, one of the things I love about the Bible is this. The Bible does not pull any punches. If you want a nice fairy tale with always happy endings, it's not the Bible. Read a fairy tale book. But the Bible lays out fallen man in his wickedness, the highs, the lows, the joys and the sorrows. It lays it out and fillets it before you so that you will see the plan of God and how God works in the midst of fallen man. And sometimes it comes to be a PG-13 kind of story. And that's what takes place in Lot's life in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, you can't spend the night in the square because people are so given to homosexuality, that's what they were saying, that they're going to come and violently take you by force. And so he said, come into my house and we'll keep you there as guests. Well, because it was so rampant in the cities, this kind of immoral, just looseness, within just moments when they hear that there's two guests in Lot's house, they're pounding on Lot's door saying, bring those two men out so that we can take them by force. And I read that, I thought, this is getting bad. Wait, it gets worse. Lot says, hey, these guys are guests, leave them alone. By the way, I have two daughters, I'll send them out, would they work? Girls, you wanna go outside? I read that and I said, no, Lot, what is going on with your brain? I mean, everything is out of order. Well, they go nuts. And then the angels say, you're going to have to get out of here, Lot, because tomorrow it's going to be destroyed. He runs to his future sons-in-law house, their house, where he had picked sort of like two sons-in-laws or future sons-in-laws for his daughters that he's about to give away. And so he says to them, angelic visitation, divine instruction, we got to go, come with us. His future sons-in-law laugh at him to scorn. How are you? That's ridiculous. And I thought, oh, a couple of losers you pick for your daughters. And then he goes back home. Now the next day, he decides to forget about following God. The next day, the angels say, let's go. And he hesitates, the Bible says. He hesitates. I don't know. The angels grabbed and said, you're going to go. And that was a compassion of God. Did you know sometimes the compassion of God is pretty strong in your life? Sometimes we think, oh, he's just, you know, velvet all the time. No, sometimes God grabs you and says, go. That's a compassion of God. So he says, go and don't look back. And they go up, and what does his wife do? She looks back, and as we heard last night, what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. And God says, go up into the mountains. And he even says no to that. Then his daughters, because the wife is gone, the future sons-in-laws are gone, they get their father drunk. Here's another PG-13. In his drunken state, they have relations with their own father. They both give birth to the leader of the Ammonites and the Moabite tribes that bring heartache and a pain to Israel for decades and generations. They're always at war with the Ammonites and the Moabites. And so you see, with one man's life so out of order, so wacko, it brings pain not only to his life, but generations thereafter, because he violated and compromised the order of God. And I look at that and I think, not only that generation, but look at that. All the trouble that was brought to Israel by the Moabites, Ammonites, and their descendants, the Electrolytes or whatever. And so it just goes bad. And I think they're just so out of order. I think, you know, God, it's in order, when there's order in our life, that it brings confidence, doesn't it? Because you see, order brings dependability. We know where things are and we know it's right, and it gives birth to confidence. You violate order and it steals or erodes confidence. We want to talk about that. Finding confidence in a shaky world, even though you live in a surrounding that's shaky. Order, confidence. We've all seen the effects of a lack of confidence in athletes when they choke, they call it, and they lose confidence at a certain time, and they fall. We've seen in singers, when they lose confidence, they forget a word or a line, or they can't hit a certain note because of a lack of confidence. We've seen it in figure skaters who, going for a triple axel or whatever, all of a sudden they lose confidence and they hesitate, and that timing loss, the hesitation and rhythm, causes a spill. We've seen it. The word confidence comes from the Latin word confidere, which means with faith. So confidence simply is an expression of walking or moving with faith. It's a very important thing that we need. It's an expression of faith. Hebrews 10 tells us about it. Let's read it together at the top of our notes. Are you ready? Go. Do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. It has great reward. The Bible is going to reveal to us that there are certain laws of confidence that, if violated, will have huge devastating effects. But God puts certain laws in motion, or certain order in life, in orbit, in nature, and the order of God remains, and it gives dependability. You can depend on it, and out of that is birthed confidence. You violate the order. If the order goes bad or it's sporadic, then there's no confidence. For example, the order of God says the sun will rise every morning. Every morning. Doesn't matter what you do. It's going to rise every morning. So you can depend on it. So you can say to your friend, I'll see you tomorrow morning, because you know it's going to be there, right? It's dependable. If the sun decided not to rise one morning, it would be a little scary. So you wouldn't have that dependability. The same thing is true with just the orbit of the world. There's order. And so the earth turns at 23 degrees on its axis, and it's spinning, but flying through space as it's spinning. It's flying at 66,000 miles an hour as it's turning. 66,000 miles an hour. But God put that in order so you can actually build buildings on this spinning gyro, but it's so dependable, you don't have to worry about it shifting all the time. You build buildings. It's okay. Basically, it stays pretty still because of the order of God. What if the earth decided to just one day, stop? It's like traveling on a car 66,000 miles an hour without a seatbelt. Where would you end up? Yeah, if that happened like overnight, the earth decided to, everything in Hawaii would shift. Whoosh, you'd be in China. I mean, it's like an evening, good night, dear. The next morning, it's gone. So God is saying, let's take God's order and order your way to His, and it will bring or birth confidence because God's way is dependable. You violate that, you erode confidence, you order unto that God's laws, God's ways, and it births what? Confidence or confidere, or you now can move with faith, not against faith, with faith. That's what it says here in Psalm 50. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Would you underline who orders his way aright? God is going to give us three laws of confidence that Lot had violated. Order in his life that he had violated. Principles of order. And because of that, his confidence eroded. The first is, would you write down order in morality? He violated one of the most basic things, and that is order in morality. You saw that with his two daughters, wanting to just exchange his daughters for these the homosexuals, taking these others by violence, raping, as it were, his guests. And it was so gabongers. I mean, it just had become so prolific in the cities. In fact, even the words Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, we those are classic words because from that we know what took place. The word, you know, I'm just the words, we use them today. Sodom, we get the word sodomy from. But the order of morality was violated and it became so commonplace in that society. It's like, no big deal, no big deal. Nothing's wrong. I mean, that's done all the time. You see, what happens is when we do things so much, it almost, the shock is taken out and it becomes commonplace. And then man starts to actually put laws in place that say it's okay. I mean, it's not illegal to do that or it's not illegal to do this. Let's read what the scripture says about that in Proverbs 20, 30 verse 20. Ready? Go. Equally amazing is how an adulterous woman can satisfy her sexual appetite, shrug her shoulders, and then say, what's wrong with that? You see, it's almost a part of the society. It's prolific. Sexual looseness and immorality, no big deal. And you know what happens in a society like that, maybe even like ours, is that man actually starts passing laws to okay it even further. Now, you must decide in this kind of society or in a shaky world where we're going to find confidence, you've got to decide what set of laws or order are you going to gain confidence from? Man's laws or a higher set of laws, God's laws? You see, if we're going to be a people that are going to be honored by God and are called His children, then you have to gain your confidence, draw your confidence from a higher set of standards, a higher set of laws. For man's laws are corruptible and they change. God's laws are incorruptible and never change. You draw confidence from man's laws, it will not give you the strength for the finish. Draw confidence from God's order, and that will give you strength for the distance. Man's laws are false. People will say, well, hey, it's not illegal to do this. Hey, it's not illegal to do that. Well, whose laws are you drawing confidence from? Whose laws are you gaining direction in your life from, basing the foundation of your life upon? Man's or God's? You always got to supersede that, because God's laws never change. If you settle for man's laws, it's like a colorful invitation. And he'll color it really nice. But there's a beautiful side of evil. And if you draw confidence from that, you won't have strength for the distance. I've run 4 marathons. The third was the most memorable here, the Honolulu Marathon. And we hadn't trained as good as we could have for it, a running partner and myself from Hilo. And so at about 20 miles, we hit the proverbial, feared, invisible membrane called the wall of every runner that runs marathons. And we hit this, and that's like an invisible membrane. When you hit this thing, you go through and it saps all the strength out of your body, all the liquid out of your body, and all the motivation out of your body. And you come through like a skeleton after that, you know? And then it's painful, because it's almost like every step I took, it was like someone had a ball-peen hammer and was whacking my thighs with every step I took. My shoes were on fire. And I looked over and Chet was in worse condition. He hit the wall too, and it looked like he was death himself warmed over. We have 6 more miles to go in this condition. Finally, which seemed like an eternity, we come over the front of Diamond Head, and Chet looks down to the Kapiolani Park, and over the road is a rainbow-colored archway of balloons. And Chet said to me, "There it is, the finish line." He said, "If we can just make it," and he focused all of his strength to just not dying till after the balloons. So we're running, and you can just feel the pain and hear the groans as we're making it. Finally, we get to the balloons, and we go through, and his body just starts to stumble. Only one problem: that wasn't the finish line. It was another 100 yards. That was just kind of a thing that said, "You're coming near to the finish line, but ha, I fool you." And his eyes were just glazed, and people were running by him like, "What are you doing continuing to run, people?" And so I said, "Chet, it's further down, come on." And I actually had to grab him, and we were running together. And the reason it's so memorable is because at the end, I still have a picture of us coming across the finish line, and I'm grabbing him by the shoulders, and we're going across like this. And you know, I thought about that. Sometimes it's like we settle for the wrong, drawing confidence from the wrong arena, the wrong source. The world will set out this nice, colorful archway and say, "Just go by my laws," because it's legal, isn't it? And God says, if you draw confidence from there, you will not have strength for the finish. Draw confidence from my order, the order of morality. Well, what's your order, God? Let's read this next scripture and we'll see what it says. Ready? Go. Run away from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against whose body? Did you know that God says when you violate that order, you violate that, it affects you and your future. It's sort of like for a night of impetuous, emotional, hormonal kind of desire, it eats your birthright. That price that you have to pay is like that is stealing your birthright, stealing your inheritance. It steals from your own destiny. It steals from your own future. You might not see the consequences now, but wait about 8-10 years and watch everything start to fall one by one, because you've eaten it, eaten your destiny. And the devil does not want to show you the price tag. It's like going to a jewelry store. You never see the price tag of that nice diamond showing. It's always tucked under the box. And the devil's the same way, saying, "Look how nice this rainbow balloon archway is, but you don't see the price. It's all you got." And so the Bible says it'll affect your future. It's sort of like this. Let's say a couple, before they get married, choose to permit one another to be sexually active. And it's okay because, hey, there's no law against it. Nobody, you know, everybody else is doing it. The society's doing it. So they say, and plus they say, we're going to get married anyway. So they say, let's permit this sexual looseness or sexual activity, and it's okay. Well, what God is saying is this, watch closely. He says, when you become married, it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become how many?
One.
Not one plus one, one. Not two, but one. Which means her DNA and your DNA, it will not just combine like this, it will be a new code. You're making a new DNA with a new code, because the two shall become what?
One.
So it's a new set of code. And if you build into the foundation prior to marriage that it's okay to do these things, you build that into the code, and then you pass that as, that's your legacy for your destiny, for your children. And that's what you give to them as their inheritance. So then what happens is they'll have that same proclivity, that same tendency to make it permissible in their life, because you somehow worked it into your code, and both of you into this new code, because the two will become one, that it's okay to be sexually active even though you're not married. And that tendency, in fact, the Bible says this, the sin of the fathers will be visited up to the fourth generation thereafter. So you're giving that legacy away. So I say to young couples, man, do it God's way, because you're not just having a relationship with someone that nobody else sees. No, you're building a whole DNA code that you will spiritually give as a baton to the next generation. Don't hand them a mutated baton. Build it well, because the two will be one. Now, one of the neatest things I think about, as we heard last week, is just a new covenant of God's grace, that the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful and cleanses us from all sin. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God can override that and give us by his grace a whole new beginning. But God says now, but if you know me as Lord and Savior and you're still building a wrong DNA code, man, change. Order your way, what? Aright. And to him I'll show the salvation of God. Well, Lot chose to just violate that order and morality and messed up not only his life, but what happened to his daughters? Same thing. And then generations thereafter were troublers of Israel because of that. So one of the laws that gives us a law of confidence is order in morality. The second is, would you write, order in our homes. Order in our homes. Lot's family was so out of order. As I said, his future sons-in-laws, when they catch the word of the Lord, they laugh at it. They laugh at instruction given by angelic visitation. His wife, after hearing Lot say, don't turn back, the angels say, don't turn back, she says, I'm going to turn back anyway. And the daughters and what they did, I mean, their priorities are so out of whack. And you cannot have confidence in relationships if your family's out of order. You cannot have confidence before God if your family's out of order.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Lot, A Life Without Order. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast when Pastor Wayne will teach us how we can have order in our homes. If your family life seems chaotic and completely out of control, take courage. Help is on the way. Tomorrow's message will definitely be an encouragement to you. We encourage you to support this radio ministry as we continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You can give online at enewhope.org. Just click on the Giving tab and designate your gift for the radio and TV ministries. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the Giving tab. As you do, Philippians 4:17 says, "The fruit of this ministry will abound to your account." Mahalo, and God bless you. We invite you to visit our online store for more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. His books, music, messages, the life journal we at New Hope follow. Go to enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Your purchase will strengthen you in your Christian walk, and it will also support the ministry of New Hope as we take the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until the same time next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.